It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the book of Acts, we're now in chapter 22. Now, if you remember the last time that we studied this, we left off in chapter 22, verses 12 through 16. And this brings us to the point of where Paul had seen the Lord on the road to Damascus. And he's explaining this to the people whom he's speaking to here in Acts chapter 22. He told them how that he saw the Lord on the road to Damascus. He was blinded by the light. And actually God's hand was upon him. And this is the reason he couldn't see. But we're told here that Paul was taught by Ananias. He was told to go to see this man, Ananias. And we pick up now in Acts chapter 22, verses 12 through 16. It says there, "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me," now this is Paul speaking, he said, "Brother Saul, receive thy sight." And the same hour I looked up upon him. Now this man Ananias came to Paul and he said, "Brother Saul, receive thy sight." Well, he goes on to say, and he said, this is Ananias, he said about Ananias, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now, once again, this is not teaching baptismal regeneration. This is teaching that Paul had been saved, and he said, "Why are you waiting around? You need to be baptized, because this is what God wants you to do." You see, when a person gets saved, the first thing that a person needs to do is to be baptized. This is the Lord's command, not to be saved, but because the person is saved. An unsaved person should never be baptized thinking that they are on their way to heaven because of salvation or because of baptism. And then the Lord's Supper is another ordinance of the Lord. These are not sacraments, the baptism and the Lord's Supper. These are not sacraments. There's nothing being sacrificed. These are ordinances that God has set down for those people and only those people who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, we look in chapter 22, verses 12 through 16, and we see that Ananias came to Paul, and when Paul stood before him, when he was there, God restored Paul's sight. And Ananias told Paul that he had been chosen to know his will, and that's God's will, and to see the just one. And of course, we know the just one is Jesus Christ. And not only would he see the just one, in other words, he would recognize him, he would recognize what he wanted him to do, and he was to hear the voice of his mouth. In other words, Paul was to listen to God. He was listening to listen to Jesus Christ to do what the Lord wanted him to do. Now, Paul was to be his witness. That's to be a witness for Jesus Christ. His witness to all men of what you have seen, Ananias said, what you have seen and heard. And then we also see here that Ananias said to Paul, "Why wait?" In other words, "Why are you tarrying? Why tarriest thou? Arise." And so many of us, when we get saved, we're on fire for the Lord for a while, and then we start tarrying. We start just hanging around. We start doing nothing for the Lord. And just as Ananias told Paul, "Why are you waiting for? Get busy for the Lord." And that's what you and I need to do as saved people. We need to be busy for the Lord, not only when we first get saved, but throughout our Christian life. Now notice here in Acts chapter 22 and verses 17 through 21, we see that Paul is sent to the Gentiles. "And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr, Stephen, was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, this is God speaking to Paul now, he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Well, in these verses, we see that the Lord spoke to Paul, and Paul returned to Jerusalem, and he was praying in the temple, and he was in a trance, and the Lord appeared to him. And the Lord told him to get out of Jerusalem quickly, because the Jews would not receive his testimony concerning him, and that's Jesus. Well, Paul attempted to explain to the Lord that he could make the Jews understand. And Paul responded that the Jews knew of his persecution of those who believed in Jesus as the Savior and the Messiah, the Christos. And he added that he had even consented to the death of Stephen, holding the killer's clothes while they stoned Stephen, while they killed Stephen. Well, the Lord told Paul of his plans for him, and Paul was to depart. This is God now telling Paul to get out of there. Of course, he was sent from the Jews to the Gentiles. The Jews wouldn't listen to him, so God said, go to the Gentiles. Now, once again, the implication here is that the Gentiles will accept what the Jews had rejected. Well, we look on now in verses 22 through 29. We're going to cover those verses. And we see the Gentiles. Now, I've got a question mark here. Gentiles. Why would Paul go to the Gentiles? Acts chapter 22, verses 22 and 23 says, and they gave him audience unto his word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air. Well, remember now that Paul the Apostle, during this time, just before he was speaking here, he was being beaten by the mob. This same mob now that tells him, and they cried out, cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air. These were the same ones who were beating Paul. And then the one who was in charge of the soldiers there came and rescued Paul and took him with him. And Paul stood and he said, can I speak? And once again, Paul here has been, he's tried to explain what God has done with him and for him. But after he explained his salvation experience, that is, he received Jesus Christ as Savior on the road to Damascus, he gave them his witness, and now the result is this. It's they said, for it is not fit that he should live. You see, when the Jews heard that he was sent to the Gentiles, they raised their voices and said, he is not fit to live. The Gentiles, according to the Jews, were dogs. They should not live according to what they believed. And the Bible says they tore off their clothes and threw dust in the air. And then we read on in verse 24. It says the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging. They're going to beat Paul now. Why? That he might know wherefore they cried so against him. In other words, he was going to get the truth out of Paul of why these people were so much against him. The Roman commander ordered that he should be brought in and tortured to disclose why the Jews wanted him dead. In Acts chapter 22, verses 25 through 29, we read this. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea. Paul said, yes, I am. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was freeborn. Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. Well, the soldiers, they tie up Paul, and Paul responds by asking the question, is it lawful for you to whip a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? See, this was the second occasion on which the apostle used his rights under Roman citizenship as a defense. You read about this in Acts chapter 16. We're going to read that in just a moment. But Paul had already been beaten several times with rods, imprisoned, and persecuted in various ways. However, the Roman scourge or flagellum was almost certain to be permanently crippling or even fatal. So Paul reminded his captors of his rights. In other words, the beating that they were going to beat Paul with and the beating he would have taken would possibly have killed him. We see this in Acts chapter 16, verse 37 and 38. We see another account here. Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. See, that's the first time that Paul used his citizenship to get out of trouble. And then, this time that we've just read in Acts chapter 22, Paul told them, he said, "Why would you beat me? I'm a Roman citizen. You don't have the right to do that," that's what he's saying. As we look on here, we see that the soldiers were scared. Remember, when they found out he was a Roman citizen, they got scared and that they had bound Paul. He was a Roman. And it was because he came so close to whipping, torturing, and being just almost dying. He was close to, he would have been close to death. And they were afraid because had they done that, then they would have been in a whole lot of trouble. Well, we read on now in Acts chapter 22 and verse 30, and we see Paul before the council. It says, on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him. This is the head man now, the head person of the soldiers there. He loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. Well, the commander wants to know things. The chief captain wanted to know why Paul was accused by the Jews. And so he removed Paul's chains, and the next day he commanded that the chief priests and all the council, this would be the Sanhedrin, he commanded them to appear, and Paul was brought before them. He was brought before the Sanhedrin. Now, I'm going to stop here for this time, and I'm going to say that Paul was a man of God. He was a man who was serving God. He was a man who was on a mission. And he was telling people that God had saved him on the road to Damascus. And I'm wondering, you, as a saved person, just as Paul had a mission, his mission was to tell others about Jesus Christ. He had had an experience on the road to Damascus where he met the Lord. And I wonder where you met the Lord. What did you do after you met the Lord? After you received him as Lord and Savior, did you start serving him? If you're not serving him now, you need to be. The Bible teaches us that we have a job to do, a saved people, and that is to tell others about Jesus Christ. It makes no difference who they are, what person they are. We're to tell them that Jesus saves. Jesus saved you, and he wants you to help other individuals come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Jesus will do the work. He'll save the people if you will simply take the message. And that's what each of us need to do who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We need to take the message. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we've had. And we look forward now, Lord, to the next time when we're together and we're able to continue on our study in the book of Acts. May you bless the word. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.